Hello and welcome to Race's Edge, your weekly local current affairs program, broadcasting from your community radio station, Radio 2SCRFM, based in Sydney. I'm your host, Anna Marie Reyes, reporting from Gadigal Land in New South Wales. We pay respect to our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders, past, present, and emerging, and recognize that this land has never been ceded.
It didn't make it to the headlines, but it may make a big difference to reducing your energy bills at home. A quiet tweak to how energy solar moves through the grid is about to unlock a surge in clean energy exports. It's technical, it's underreported yet, it could be the key to turning Australia's solar potential into a real economic change maker. Race's Edge reporter Thomas Scutis spoke to Marnie Shaw, Associate Professor in Engineering at the Australian National University, to get the lowdown.
What is the Australian Common Smart Inverter Profile and how does it change the way households interact with the power grid?
Yeah, so if I can give a little bit of background first of where we're at. So in Australia, we're now in the very excellent position that one in three homes has rooftop solar, especially the highest rate in the world. And we're now at the point where our rooftops, one of our biggest sources of power for the grid. So every day we've got households who are using their own solar-powered generation and feeding the surplus that they don't use into the grid. So what we really want to achieve is that homes with solar can make the most of that solar that they've generated. And we also want to make sure that the grid can absorb as much of the rest of that solar as possible. And that way we all have the cheapest, cleanest power possible. So what this smart inverter new standard allows is it provides the communication that we need between the grid and our rooftop solar systems to be able to best manage the most of that solar export that we're generating. So what we've had until now is that just a few days of the year, we have so much solar being generated that the grid can't absorb it. But all of the other days of the year, we have plenty of grid capacity, so we can absorb more than we're absorbing at the moment. And what this standard allows is the communication from the grid to the solar system to make sure that on most of the days of the year when we can absorb more solar, we can actually do that.
And how might...
Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, makes good sense, yes. And how might this new standard impact the existing solar export limits, particularly in regions like South Australia?
So in South Australia, this has already been in place for a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so what we had in South Australia until recently was the exports for a household that's generating lots of solar power. They could only export up to a pretty small amount of solar, about 1.5 kilowatts. And so what this new communication standard allowed is that in South Australia, as of a couple of years ago, households could choose to be able to export much more power for most days of the year. What you get in exchange as a household is that some days of the year, which is a really limited number of days when it's very, very sunny and we're not using that much electricity, your solar exports get turned down. So it's a small kind of price to pay for really large benefits for those households that they're most of the days of the year exporting now up to 10 kilowatts of solar.
Can you explain how smart inverters communicate with the grid operators and why this matters for solar energy distribution?
Grid operators, so they're our network providers, so it's different in different states. They send communication through the internet to your inverter, which is kind of like your household manager of your solar system. So it's information that is sent. Now with this new version of the communication standard, that just got a lot smarter in that it can give instructions to your solar inverter to say, go for it, export lots, or turn yourself down, which is as I said, just for a very limited number of days of the year.
And what role do home batteries, electric vehicles and heat pumps play in optimising grid usage under the new system? I understand that the batteries that are used in electric vehicles, I think they can be reused for solar purposes. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a great question, because when I mentioned before that what we want is that households make the most of their own rooftop solar, there are lots of ways to achieve that, and some of them are really, really simple. So the most simple one is just shifting your hot water heating to the middle of the day. So that's a pretty big use of electricity in your home. So it can soak up some of that solar to start with. And then a second way that you can use out some of your rooftop solar is by shifting your, if you're lucky enough to have an EV, I don't yet have an electric vehicle, but charging your electric vehicle in the middle of the day as well uses up lots of that good rooftop solar. And then if you still have extra electricity being generated by your rooftop, then you could have a household battery that will store up that solar electricity during the middle of the day so that you can use it in the evening. And what you're referring to, Thomas, with the electric vehicles being used as a battery is a really exciting change that's coming for Australia, which is called, so we have vehicle to home, where you can use your car battery to store solar and then feed it back into your home in the evening, or also vehicle to grid, and that allows that, well, solar power that you've stored in your EV to be fed back into the grid for when the grid can absorb it.
And going on to household electricity bills over the next decade, are these due to change soon?
Well, what is expected is that they should come down. I mean, rooftop solar is our cheapest form of electricity. So what is expected based on modelling into the future, that they should come down by about 20% into the future. So one thing to understand is that a big part of our electricity bills pays for the grid that we've built. So about 40% of your electricity bill goes into what are called network charges. So if you have a look at your bill, you'll see this. I know electricity bills are super confusing, and I really don't like them, but if you have a look...
I don't think anyone does.
Nobody does. They're so confusing. About 40% of your bill is paying for the electricity grid cost that we've already incurred. So what we really need to do to make sure the bills don't go up and, you know, hopefully go down in the future, is to minimise what we spend on the grid as we transition to being powered fully by renewable energy sources. So that's one way. And then I would, for people, living in houses that have rooftop solar, if you're wondering how to reduce your bill, definitely would recommend that you have a look at the Energy Made Easy government website, where you can put in your information about your electricity use, and it gives you recommended electricity plans that would be cheapest for you. So that's another way to practically bring down your bill cost.
There's been concerns that exist around allowing energy companies to remotely control the household devices, the devices that you use for the solar panels. How can that be addressed?
That's a toughie. It's because people are lacking trust, and, you know, for good reason. People feel like they haven't, things haven't been made clear to them in the past. So I guess there are two aspects to it. I mean, the main one is that the energy industry really needs to win back our trust by being really clear about how the energy system is changing and how that will impact them. So I think there's a fair bit of work to be done in just being really clear, explaining how everything's working and who's benefiting and who's not benefiting. So an increase in communication will help to win back that trust. Ultimately, some people will not want their inverter to be controlled by the network operator, and then they can just choose to stick with the way things are working at the moment, which is on that smaller, limited export limit.
How does Australia's rooftop solar adoption compare globally, and what lessons can other countries learn from this shift?
Yeah, so we are real world leaders in this regard. So we have the highest rate per capita of rooftop solar. So people around the world look to Australia for what's happening and see how well we're managing this rooftop solar and feeding it into the grid. So, you know, everybody can benefit from it. And with respect to these new standards that have been introduced, those are also world-leading. So people will be looking in other countries to how we have implemented this new standard and how we're using it to better manage all of our household resources to provide the cheapest grid for the future.
All right, Marty Shaw, thanks so much for your coming on and thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the invitation.
Marty Shaw, Associate Professor in Engineering at the Australian National University, speaking to Racist Edge reporter Thomas Kutis and ending that report.